2 Corinthians chapter 5. Sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And look here in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. I know it's short, but your word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And so I pray it would take the desired effect and not return void. We pray that you would be with us this evening in the message, and that your will might be accomplished through what we look at, what is said, what is received, would be separate but unified. And I just need you to work in not only my behalf, but the behalf of everybody that's here, everybody that's watching, all believers all across the world. And so we commit this time to you. May the Holy Spirit have his way in what is said, what is not said, and the manner in which it's said. And we thank you, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the verses I read present quite a paradox to the time represented by today, whatever the today is. What is this day? 22, November 22nd, 2020. All three of these verses are true. All three of these verses are in operation at the very same time. There are different passages of Scripture that affect us personally, that we live in such a country that we are able to boldly proclaim the gospel of Christ and God's word certainly falls before our eyes of us being thankful. I can't imagine, I don't want to imagine, I don't want to find out what it is like to fear that any one of the people in attendance is a spy and that is there to gather information to not only go against what is preached, but the one who preaches it and the people that attend. When you're in China, that's what you face. You never know who a plant is, and they do like to plant people. And so when they go around and they start going after the house churches, and many of them are not in houses, they're in buildings. They've already gone into these places. They know everything that they need to know to go in there and do their destructive measures that they do. So we should be grateful that we live here today, this time. Our country, where the world had a rough beginning with the gospel, and made its way, of course, eventually into our country. It was rough going through for Bible-believing people in our own country by Bible-believing people because of this issue of believers' baptism. And you read some of our early history, it's disgusting. You know, let's talk about slavery. No, let's talk about believers' baptism versus infant baptism. There's a lot of shameful things that were done. Go with me to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. And in the background of what I'm doing is really being thankful. Some of it may not appear that way, but really it is. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. What a blessing that is for we who are saved. We understand that. where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But it's a biography of each one of us. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we are alive today, and being raised from being spiritually dead because we've trusted Christ as our Savior. And when I met Linda, everything was fine until it got into something theological. And then her door was almost shut, and so was mine, because I prided myself that I was an agnostic, and she just asked me stupid questions like, are you saved? And that stupid question went right over my head, because I had no idea what that meant. Never heard it before. No one had ever told me that I needed to be saved. They may have given up certain verses in Scripture, but they never made it personal. This is what I'm talking about. The greatest blessing that we can experience is the blessing, the personal blessing of having a personal Savior from sin, that he died for us and was raised the third day. Romans chapter 5 and John chapter 14. Romans 5, John 14. Got you going two different directions. Romans chapter 5. And I was telling Mike Ert this morning that there's a lot of maybe overlapping similarities in what he gave out this morning in this message. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace with God does not come any other way. It is not through a religious system. It is not through an order of things. It is just through Jesus Christ, justified by faith. You've got to be justified by faith. That's not the verse that Martin Luther discovered while he was walking on his, or crawling on his knees in a monastery, but it had to do with the just who live by faith. And it occurred to him, as it should have occurred to a lot of people that were raised in the slavery of Catholicism, that salvation is not by works. It's not by a dozen of other things. It's by faith. Okay? Grace through faith. And so in John 14, we talked about justified. We have peace with God. Verse 27, the Lord is speaking. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. So in Romans chapter 5, we're justified by faith. Then we have peace with God through Christ. And whose peace do we have? His peace. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be let it be afraid. All right? You take that thing that is personal, because we're going to get to out of being personal, and you call it in to this is me. I'm claiming this, that my heart should not be troubled or afraid, because I have peace with God. And of course, the peace of God that passes all understanding. What could you be troubled if the peace of God that passes all understanding is yours? And then measure that by how many things you're troubled by or afraid of. And then explain why you're not applying God's word to your life. I mean, I have to do the same thing. All right? Peace where there was no peace of any lasting value. Why did the clothes always change? Why did the shoes always change? Why did the cars always change? Because they don't bring lasting peace. If you want looking for good shoes, go out in the desert in Israel, and their shoes lasted for 40 years. Our shoes, you're lucky if you get them home. I mean, some of the things that are put together with. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's look here in verse, 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. But Peter's talking about being in darkness, same thing as being spiritually dead, and then into his marvelous light. And did you see the challenge that's in the verse? A chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That just says it. You should do that. That's the result of, it should happen. Not that it has to happen. Okay, go with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And let's look at probably a verse you've never seen before. Verse 16. And let's just read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Does that mean they might? No, it means they're not going to. And so when you read this, but have everlasting life. So when you read this, it has the same emphasis, exact same word. This is the result of being a chosen generation, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. We have an obligation to show forth to the world the personal things that have happened to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Very important. Our local church is a gospel preaching church because we want nothing less for the people that come in here or the people that listen for them or you than what has happened to us when we got saved. I don't want less for you than I have. I want more for you than I have. And we should want more for each other. And so that does not happen, the salvation issue, through any church. Church doesn't have that authority to save anybody or any church or any person. It didn't happen through our goodness because there's nothing good in us. Scriptures are very clear. We have none of that before a holy God. It wasn't confirmed to us by a system of rituals, ceremonies, traditions, but by the finished work and person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It happened because of God's great love for us. Man that I respected, 1 John chapter 4, a man that I respected for a long time had a son that went to a theological cemetery, seminary, and learned some things that were counterproductive to what he had learned as a boy in the home and from his dad in church. And so part of that he, I think very unwisely, took to himself and then disagreed with God's love for the sinner. Said, no, God hates sinners. Hates them all. He hated Adam and Eve. I mean, he really took it to the next level. All right, so best argument, of course, is always Scripture, verse 7, 4-7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So God's great love for us has a great deal to do. God's goodness has led us to repentance, was why we come to the place where we trusted Christ as Savior. So a personal salvation results in personal changes. I didn't read verse 10 of Ephesians 2. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Before salvation, we did not have that ability. There were no good works. Now we have that. 2 Corinthians 5:17, which we read off here in the beginning. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When we got saved, it set us on a narrow path that we have never walked before and know nothing about. You may have been raised in a Christian home, and you may have had Christian parents, and you've gotten got a lot of information. The moment you became saved, you became a babe in Christ, and there was a road that differs from the broad way that you were on, and you know nothing about it other than Scripture. You know maybe things you heard, but outside of God's Word, we know nothing. So let's eliminate the preaching. Let's bring in the entertainment. Let's change the Scriptures. Let's just have a great time. So we come in, you feel good, you go out, and where's the growth? Where is understanding what God requires of us after we're saved? Not to continue to be saved, but this is what he wants from us. He wants fellowship. That was lost in the garden. He wants fellowship with us. This is one of the hardest things for man to understand. Why do you not like fellowship with other believers? It's not going to happen in heaven. It's just not. But why would you not try to further your growth in Christ rather than hinder it? All right. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." If God were to show you all that has already happened in your life from the beginning, how many of you would have kept on? I mean, if he said, you know, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, I think there are those who would say, you know, now you've shown me by sight, I don't want to walk by faith. And yet that's the best way to walk. Trusting the Lord, not you. I've been saved for over 50 years. I know that's hard to believe, since I'm only 52. And still a liar. And still, because of verse 17, all things become new. There's still things that I'm finding that I have never seen before. And I don't think in my lifetime that I will get to them all. I didn't see them. They were there. They've always been there. And somehow the light of the Word of God and my walk weren't coinciding. So I didn't get them. And hopefully, you know, I've gotten a lot more. But I probably should have had a lot of them sooner. But, you know, I'm here where I am. I am by what I am, by the grace of God. And so I want to keep learning and keep seeing things that are new. They're not new, but they're new to me. in our church. There is order and there's doctrine. You cannot grow without either one of those. You just can't. Let me read you some things dealing with Thanksgiving, especially not only in the church, but personally, since we're talking about personally. Psalm 35. Psalm chapter 35. Look here in verse 28, last verse of the 35th Psalm. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. My tongue shall speak of thy righteousness. I don't have any righteousness. The righteousness that I would say that I have is Christ's. I'm clothed with it. But I don't have any of my own. And of thy praise all the day long. Where is the concentration? It's heavenward. It's Godward. Even though you're living in the world today, you can still be focused beyond the world. Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Verse 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Good prayer. Lord, you open my mouth. My lips are going to praise you. Be thankful for what I have. Psalm 113. Psalm 113. And let's look here in verse 3. From the rising of the sun unto its setting. Oh, I'm sorry. Unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. What part of the day should we not praise God? All the time. We can do it audibly. We can do it in our heart. But we ought to be doing it. I mean, I get up and thank the Lord that I got up, that He's given me a new day. Certain things I ask. But I'm thankful that He still has purpose for me being here. He still has purpose for you being here. We ought to thank Him for that every day. You don't have to go through a horrific type incident to appreciate that. That's why Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, so you don't have to go through some of the stupid things he did. You can avoid that. All right, there are things that we discussed and Scripture discusses, passages that affect us outside of ourselves, that happen, they can happen locally, they can happen nationally, they can happen across the world. These are things to which, if we're not grounded on God's Word, can lead you astray from God's purposes, or worse, to a complete falling away into apostasy. In my small mind, and seeing the things that I've seen for so long now, I'm seeing that somewhere the passages of Scripture that were personal weren't developed and didn't show forth any strength because of the things that are going on nationally having such an effect on people to step away. To go away, to completely disannul anything that they believed before. There's a guy that wrote, I forgot what his name was, it's a great book on apologetics. And he disavowed all of it later on. Didn't mean it. Well, something affected that, and it had to come from without. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that verse is very true. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Right? Now, I mess with the Word of God here, and I circle shall, and I put have. They're here. We're not looking for them that to happen. It is here. Perilous days. And so is 2 Peter 3:3. Scoffers dominate scoffers and perilous days, perilous times, dominate the spiritual landscape today. But remember this. God did not call us to save Venezuela or Hong Kong or Cuba or the United States. And yes, he called us to give forth the gospel. If all of us, mathematically, if we had all done that and everyone did what they were supposed to do and everyone received Christ as Savior, we could have won the world in 34 days. Mathematically. So you know there's a tremendous breakdown. And yes, there's a calendar, or on a calendar, there must be a system in place during which a simultaneous falling away from the faith will embolden someone who desires to be given the reins of worldwide governance. We know him as the Antichrist. He doesn't know himself as that. Could he be alive today? I think he is. Who would he be? I have no idea. It's not up to me to know. And I don't think we will know that. And because of that simultaneous falling away, because of these perilous times, because of these scoffers and mockers and so forth, that will embolden the religious world, minus the churches of believers in Christ, minus us, to have another devil-possessed man stand up and lead an apostate world religion. Marxism seems to be the spotlight is on Marxism today in our country. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be on your focus. But Marxism, now it has a neo-Marxism. And the old Marxism, you went out and you destroyed everybody. Yeah, I mean, you killed any religious people, you threw them in the trash, and so forth. Now, the new Marxism is going after your mind. Our government schools are helping to do that very thing to our children. The media are helping to do that all the time. If you're a local channel person, you are getting nothing but disgusting media propaganda. That's all you're getting. We've got to be honest with you. And everything is moving toward that, so that if you keep putting this into your head long enough, the resistance is getting weaker and weaker. And one of the things that we saw in the book of Daniel was that the Antichrist was there to so discourage people that they wouldn't fight any longer. What's the purpose? What's the sense of doing that? Look today, if you think I'm wrong in this, look today at young people and look at their views on socialism. Oh, it's not so bad. What did they know about socialism? The propaganda that they've been fed by Marxists who teach in universities and schools and sometimes make their ways into Christian school and books. How many people in church settings, local churches, know anything about Marxism and how it's being used to get together with religion to take the world back to Rome? Oh, no, I'm not one of them. Yeah, well, the false prophet is going to take those, and those who are left will willingly go. Willingly. These people next door, those people over there, ones over there that aren't saved on the other, I'm just picking those because they're close. If we were to disappear, they would not miss us. They would love that we're gone. They wouldn't know why we're gone. I have a few views of that. Same thing with them and the people over there. And suddenly there would be the operation of getting everybody together like there is already, but now without any resistance, no spiritual resistance. And they're on their way. Now, I need to be careful, you know, to say this, but we just might be living on the edge of everything breaking loose on this earth. Horrible conditions led by horrible people following the dictates of the God of this world, which is Satan, and led by his own false gospel. I want to show you something. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We were given a progression here in chapter 1, in verse 16. Paul writes, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Do you know that in the tribulation, who does the Antichrist go after first? The Jew. And then the Gentile. Just the opposite. Just the opposite. You've seen in less than a year some kind of a virus of sorts take down country after country after country, whereas most of Europe, if not all of Europe, is now locked down or locking down. Asia is not far behind. I don't know about South America. I know if the presidency changes, then that will be the order of the day. And the voices of men desiring the same for our country. And now we've got these dictatorial governors clamoring for even more power over the people. So listen, let's not be naive. Maybe not today, but it's coming. It's too far gone. You can't go back. There's no going back. Too many things have happened. The masked mandate, if it becomes a mandate, now different cities, municipalities have said that you have to wear a mask all the time. Pennsylvania, you have to wear it in the house. There's some others that are, you know, weighing that out as well. But if that mandate and its given authority are enforced, and you're going to have to use your mind here, I believe will create a shadow of the mark of the beast, where you cannot buy or sell. It's not the mark of the beast. I've been in two restaurants, one today, where I had to put on a mask to walk in, and down in Melbourne, that's neither here nor there. They have the right to do that, and I have the right to say, no, I'm not going to do it. But what if it's mandated? And what if it's mandated in the grocery stores and everywhere else? If you don't put on a mask, you can't buy groceries. That is a shadow. That's all it is, of things to come. And in the tribulation, of course, you take the mark of the beast. You can buy and sell. But if you don't take it, you can't buy or sell. See, what I'm looking at, again, is don't go beyond here. You know, what we're seeing is mild. But it's a picture, just like the virus. How else can you get total world control until you've got everybody at home? And you have nobody working, nobody doing anything, and governments are going to all get together and say, we need somebody to stop this. And it would have to be somebody that, who knows what, but you know who it's going to be. Perilous times. You better believe it. You better believe it. There's 19 characterizations in 2 Timothy 3 of churched or religious people in our day, today, 2020. They were characteristics of the people in Paul's day when he wrote 2 Timothy. They've never changed. I think there were more truthful believers. They were more believers than non-believers. And over the progression of time, now we've seen all of that turn. And now there's more non-believers that are going to churches than believers. And verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So when I worked on the interstate down in Miami years ago, one of my famous 500 jobs, we would build a form across the road, and the form was not the cement structure that would go in the form. It was just a form. So it was a form of a road, but not the road itself, the pillar that would hold the road. And when you understood that it wasn't the road, I mean, who would drive on a form? You can't. Who would exist or believe on a form of godliness? All kinds of people. It's easy. In advertising, you had the bandwagon approach. Hey, come on, get on. You know who I am? I'm Mr. Professional, this athlete. I wear these shoes. Go ahead, let's wear these shoes. You know what I'm saying? So many of what's religious today is nothing but the same thing. And so they've changed. And they've changed not Godward, but way. And it's attractive. When Hybels and what's his name out west, Warren, went around. Hybels went around and he took surveys. What would you like to see in church? What could we do to get you back into church? Well, you know what it was? Get rid of everything about church. And then we'll go. Get rid of the pulpit. Get rid of the piano. Get rid of the stage. Get rid of the dress code. Dress like you're going to the beach. You know, let's not sing songs. Let's put things on screens and we'll give you songs that you know nothing about, and we'll have you repeat the words 50 times and we'll just have you swooning in your seat. And then we'll give you a little sermonette for Christianettes. And in 15 minutes, you go back out. This was wonderful. Linda went to our daughter's church years ago, and the message was about a little red wagon. Well, that's nice. I had a little red wagon when I was a child. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I did childish things. Well, the church isn't a childish thing. This is business. This is life and death. And so I've had people, and they say, you know, if I'll bring some of this up, we believe just like you do. Just faith in Christ, and that you're all set. I can go out and do what I've always done before because my ticket is punched. Surprise, surprise, you got the wrong ticket. You know, I'm saying, if you feel that way, you could do that as a believer, but you have to accept the consequences of your action. You want to go out and do what you want to do as a believer? You better understand you have a Father in heaven who is not going to tolerate that. And he will chasten you and scourge you until you get back in line. People that believe that were fed a lie. There are people that were in church this morning, but nothing more. They were just in church. You said, what did you learn? I don't know. Why did you go? Well, I'm not sure that I really know that either. I just know I was there. Many other people say the same things, or some even go farther and don't even pretend to be in church, and so they don't go, even though they know that they could be there. The scoffers and mockers, you better believe they're real. After Trump, what is the most disgusting thing on the tongues of comedians and godless people? Jesus Christ. And Christian people. And so, you know, 2 Peter 3, hey, you that believe in that theory about the rapture, which isn't in the Bible, it was a Catholic thing anyway, it came from them, and have this pre-tribulational position on a second coming. So where is he? And why haven't you just disappeared? Well, one day we are. And one day, surprise, surprise, they won't be able to ask that. And again, when you read the scriptures, it says they're willingly ignorant of this. The Bible teaches it. So on the inside, we have peace and safety. We have love and concern for other people to be saved. We take God at His word, and we apply it to our lives. Quiet time, as opposed to the screams everywhere for change. A change most of them don't know anything about. Nothing. Enslaving people. That's nothing to smile about. It's an incentive destroyer. A privacy intruder 24/7. Confused yet? You shouldn't be. And here's why. Before you were saved, you were one of them. In varying degrees. Lost. Altogether lost. But you were probably could be persuaded to agree with some of the things. Now, go with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Are any of you hearing sounds? Okay. There are sounds coming from the back room. Just letting you know. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Personally, peace, safety. I've been delivered from this present evil world. Think of, if you're young, you wouldn't have the biggest list. But think of the things that the world has its control over you as a lost person. And that as a saved person, it doesn't have that same control. You can have the victory. In John chapter, let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And look at verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Christ is speaking. If ye were of the world, and before we were saved, we were. The world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So all the hatred that is pointed at us, it's not pointed just at us, it's pointed at us because of Christ and because of what we have in Christ. Very important. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look down here in verse 20. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. Now, again, personally, I am an ambassador for Christ. So are you if you're saved. What does an ambassador do? He represents his country. Whose country? We represent the country of heaven, God's country. How do we represent? We have to have our mind and everything focused on things that are spiritual. I'll get into the physical and so forth here, but we're ambassadors. Somebody asks you what you do, to say, I'm an ambassador. That opens the door. Oh, what country? Heaven. And then they'll say, oh, we don't want to do that. And you never know. So listen, 1 Peter 2:11, we're strangers and pilgrims. And in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, we're supposed to give our lives as a living sacrifice. But if you cave on the word for the sake of anything, and I mean anything, then that word looks to others as not very meaningful to you. They just do. That's what the world does. And they'll ask themselves, or maybe even you, why should I want what you believe because you are no different than me? And that would be a horrible thing to have somebody say to you. We're supposed to be different, progressively different, not isolated, but different, separated. And so we are people that I believe just have to trust the Lord, and we have to be focused on the spiritual, focused on the personal. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. There's so many blessings you wouldn't be able to get home without even touching the surface. Be informed outside of yourself, but not influenced. The moment you get influenced, it's hurt your position personally. Go with me to Isaiah, and we'll close with this. Isaiah chapter 50. Now, I am a citizen of the United States. Don't get me wrong. In the flesh. But that position has nothing to do with my citizenship in heaven. One of them has to have a priority as to the other. And I believe it's smart and wise to be informed. But when you let it get to the place where it starts influencing you, I guarantee you, if this is the truth right here, you've moved. You've just moved. We were looking, and we will be looking when we get back to Acts. And remember the little slave girl that came to Philippi, and she had these masters. She was possessed. And they made money off of her. Paul never talked about the slavery issue. He was interested in her soul. And those devils had to come out. He could have gone after the masters. He could have gone after the slavery issue. But he didn't. He went after the spiritual. Somehow you have to mix these two in the same way. You can know. He knew that girl was possessed. And yet, he tried to do things in order to get that, you know, changed. We have to understand, it almost has to be predetermined in your mind. I call it a predetermined dedication. I am not going to be influenced by this garbage of what's going on in the world. I'm going to take note of it. I'm going to look for things that might give me clues as to, oh yeah, now I can see things I never saw before. I never could figure out how could the world of nations be taken over. They already have been. It just hasn't been put into place for a person to come on the scene. It's already happened by a virus. A man-made virus, by the way. Okay, Isaiah 50, verse 7. And this is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Set your face as a flint. Set your mind as a flint. I am not going to be deterred to go off this way or to go off that way. I'm going to stay here with the book. With the word, I'm going to learn it. I'll keep an eye on what's going on. I'm not going to be dumb about it. I'll try to offset things that may happen. But at the same time, I am a citizen of heaven, and I'm going to be transformed one day. I'm going to see my Lord and Savior face to face. Hopefully it would be alive and in the rapture, as opposed to, you know, taking home to be with the Lord first. But the world... If your hopes are in the world, your hopes are in the countries in which we live in, which, of course, we thank the Lord for all the freedoms, but we know the end. The nations are all going to come against Israel. You mean we're going to turn on them? We already have turned on them in some ways. And you could get a president that will take it farther, and that will be destructive to our country. But we have to understand, okay, let's do that, but let's keep giving forth the word and You have answers to all of those things in the Word. What is it that the Word can answer? It's all here. It's just that you get perplexed. You get frustrated. And yes, we'd like to see good results. We always want to see good results. But the answer is still here. And one of them is, in everything, give thanks. Not just Thursday. In everything. And there's a lot of bad things that have happened to us. Haven't there? And you thank the Lord that we're saved when they happened. And you've got other things to thank the Lord for in that. You look for things. Let me finish with this. Matthew Henry wrote commentaries. His father, I forgot what his name was. He had a sister. And this has nothing to do with what I'm going to say. But he instructed them that they were to read Psalm 119, one verse a day. It's 172 verses. And then when they finished, then read it again. And do that every year. One verse. He says, and when you're done, you will fall in love with the Lord more than you ever have. All right, so Matthew Henry was walking down the streets. I think it was in London. I'm not sure. And a guy came around the corner, took out a knife, and he said, I want your, back then they called it a purse, your wallet, basically. Or I'll kill you. And so he took it off and gave it to him. The guy ran off. And so he was relating the situation to the church. And he said, I just thank the Lord that I'm a safe person. He could have killed me, but I would have gone home to heaven. I thank the Lord that there was nothing in my wallet. But he kept finding things to thank the Lord, even though it was a horrifying experience. Some guy walks up to you and, you know, give me that. There are things you can find to thank the Lord about if you'll just look and be a thankful person. Let's pray. As you bow your heads here tonight, I'm not sure where we are spiritually. I hope that we're represented here 100% saved people. But if not, there's an opportunity waiting for you right now to come and trust Christ as your Savior. I know you can do that in your seat. You can do that at home. But there's more meaning to it where people can talk back and forth and communicate and have a better understanding of what the salvation is all about. It is full. It is complete. It is free. And it is everlasting. If anyone here as a Christian person can't get over the edge of being thankful and just has the perspective of being so influenced by circumstances outside of ourselves, outside of the peace and safety that exists inside of us. Father, may they see what it is that they're doing and where it's ultimately going to lead. I just ask that you speak to our hearts in a very personal way. I'm thankful for the country I live in, but I'm more thankful for the people that are here, people that are watching, the people that we can go out and talk to, leave tracks, speak to them about their soul, the spiritual family. And I just pray that we would use this time of year to reinforce to ourselves the importance of not staying positive, but being thankful, even in some of the most miserable situations. And we pray that you'd have your way in the invitation. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.